Lord, thank you again. You are so good. You are love. And you've shown it to us. Let us understand that and live out of that love every day. We thank you for your word. We're going to go to it now. And we know we're going to walk away full of life in you, Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, are you ready for Christmas? Or do you need a little more time to get everything kind of prepared, put together? Christmas is accompanied, as we know, with a whole lot of obligations, duties, activities, parties. I like the parties because there's a lot of cookies and desserts there. And Christmas season, it's also full of shopping. And of course, all of these activities are compressed into our already very busy lives. The kids are off of school. They're enjoying their Christmas break. Dad's still working. I got to remind him of that every once in a while. It's Christmas and it's busy. But Christmas is going to happen just a few days from now, regardless whether you're all ready or not. Jimmy, I don't know. I mean, have you taken care of Diana yet? I don't know. Did you get the present yet? No. Oh, my. It's happening on the 25th, whether you're ready or not. Frankly, with all the shopping thing, Amazon Prime, I just became a member of that like 6 months ago. I believe it is a gift from God. I really do. It's extremely, extremely helpful this time of year. But look, if we're honest with ourselves, I mean, if we really look at it, we don't have time for Christmas. I want to show this video just to underscore what I just said. That's what it's all about. Welcome to Christmas. Welcome to the celebration as we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate the day that He came into the world. We celebrate the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, made room for us. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, a feeding trough located in a barn, because there was no room for them in the inn. On this Christmas, I want us to understand something. I want us to understand that Jesus made room for us. Jesus made room for us. In His busy schedule, He made room for us. And we know Jesus has and had and always will have a very busy schedule because after all, and we sing it every once in a while, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. That's a whole lot to take care of. You think your life is busy? He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Yet, he made room for you and for me. We talked about his love earlier in worship. He made room for us. We celebrate Christmas in the reality that the Son of God stepped down from his place in glory in heaven, and he made room for you and me. The King of the universe humbled himself, became a man, born a baby in a manger, in a stable, in a barn, and he made room for us. I want you to let that sink in. The King of Kings, from his place of glory, moved by love, stepped down. Became a baby, born in a barn for you. Today, as we celebrate this reality, I just keep hearing Jesus say this all week long. I just kept hearing his words from Revelation 3:20, just ringing in my ears, where he said, "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Here I am." Today Jesus is standing at your door. Today Jesus is standing at the door of your life and of your heart with his arms wide open, offering his love, mercy, his grace, forgiveness, salvation, an eternal relationship with him. This is really the story. This is the wonder and the glory of Christmas. Jesus made room for us. He made room for us. But then the natural question arises. Have we made room for him? Have we made room for Jesus? In our passage this morning in Luke chapter 2, we encounter the surprising reality that when Jesus arrived, there was no room for him. How can this be? No room for the King of Glory? No room for the family of the Messiah? In the end, no vacancy, it said. No vacancy. The Son of God's to be born, but sorry. Hey, we got a lot going on. We can't fit you in right now. I saw this picture this week. This picture was drawn by the wife of a friend of mine, Stephen Zachary. He's a local attorney as well as a pastor. And it moved me. And frankly, it played a big role in the message the Lord is giving us even here this morning. Look at all those gifts in front of that door. Grace, joy, peace, love, mercy, eternal life, hope, waiting. Waiting for the occupants of that home to open up and to see him and to receive him and to bring him in. Those gifts represent Jesus waiting at the door of that family. But the door's closed. Signs, no solicitors. Please don't ring. No trespassing. And sorry, no vacancy. This is what Jesus encountered the day that he came to the door of humanity and said, "Here I am. Here I am." Now, we might think that the innkeeper who turned Jesus away, who doesn't have a name, we just know there was an innkeeper. There was somebody there at the door at the inn that said, "Sorry, can't fit you in." And we might think that that guy, that innkeeper, we might think he gets a bad rap. I mean, I can go there. I can start to justify that, hey, man, this guy really got a bad rap. After all, it was busy at that time. I mean, with the whole census thing that was going on. And the little town of Bethlehem, which was just a small little village. It was just a backwater hick town. It was nothing. But on this day, in this season, it was bustling with people. I mean, they were all over the place. And this businessman was just taking advantage of this economic windfall. There was a whole lot of people in town. They needed a place to stay. And he was going to make sure he profited from that. How was he supposed to notice the Savior of the world at his door? It's too busy. Too much happening. Some would say, come on, he's just a busy man trying to make a buck and support his family. What's so wrong with that? And there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord blesses us with the opportunity and the means to go out and to make a buck and to have a job and a career and make a living and support our families. That's one of the ways that he provides our daily bread for us, is he gives us the opportunity to use the gifts and the strength that he's bestowed upon us to go out and to, quote unquote, make a living and to provide for our families. That's good stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. It's encouraged. But when our busyness, even our business and job, consume us to the point where we begin to miss God, that's a problem. That becomes an issue. Look, the innkeeper could have had the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Messiah, born in his home. In his home. He could have witnessed. I mean, been right there, witnessed the birth of Jesus. The Lord presented him with an amazing privilege on that day. Here I am. I stand at your door. I knock. Do you want to be part of something amazing? Do you want to see the glory of God birthed literally in your life, in your home, right here, right now? I offer that to you. What a privilege. What a privilege. Yet he couldn't see the amazing gift standing at his door. He didn't have eyes for that. He sent the Messiah away. Well, he did give him a place in his barn. Out in the stable. In the back room, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, I was thinking about this. Because you think, well, okay, at least he gave him a place. But I was thinking about how we are with even our pets. How many of you would put your pet out in the shed, you know, in the winter all night long? Okay, I got two hands raised in the room. Who are you people? Even most people wouldn't put their pet out in the garage all night. You just wouldn't, right? You let them sleep inside somewhere. You give them a little cozy place. You know, you take care of them like that. So it doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem right. I know we can create this amazing manger scene, and sometimes we even look at that manger scene and we think it's all, oh, this is just, you know, perfect. It was a barn. There were stinky animals. It was horrible. And this is where the Savior of the world, Jesus, who stepped down from his place of glory, came and was born. It doesn't seem right. Yet, here we are, a couple thousand years later. And Christians are still only opening their kind of their outer houses, their garages, the sheds of their lives, the pantries of their lives is really all that many, many Christians are opening up to Jesus, even right now. Our lives are so full. We have other guests. We have other things. There's so much going on that really, that this is all we have room for right now. And so, Jesus, come. Yeah, okay, but you know, over here for now. Over here, back there for now. Like the innkeeper, we're ignoring this amazing privilege that the Lord has given us. To have the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, who's knocking at your door, to have Him living front and center in your life, in your home. Having that place of prominence where you get to witness moment by moment, day by day, His glory because He's right there. Have we made room for Jesus? So here's what I want to do. I want to contrast what happened with the innkeeper and how he didn't make room for Jesus, or how he did, but not really in the right way, not wholeheartedly. I want to contrast the innkeeper with a couple other Christmas characters. Those would be the shepherds and the wise men, the magi. So let's continue with the Christmas story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, which makes a lot of sense. But the angel said to them, hey, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all. That will be for all. And I want to just take a moment to highlight something. Jesus didn't just come for some select group of people. He came for all. He came for the world, for everyone, to make Himself available to all. Jesus came for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Today in the town of Gilbert, a Savior is knocking at your door and is here for you. For you. He is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. The angel says to the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, man, that was so cool, blew my mind, but we got to get back to work. Let's get back to the sheep. No, they didn't say that. The shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us all about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, man, they were changed. And they began to spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, pretty excited. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds made room for Jesus. And if they were here talking to us right now, they would say, yes, we did, and it was worth it. We wouldn't have it any other way. We'd do it again and again. And again, and I believe those guys did it again and again and again. Do you think they went back to check up on the baby Jesus? Do you think they went by to see how he was doing after that? Oh, I bet they did. Unlike the innkeeper, The shepherds didn't allow the busyness of life, the temporal responsibilities, all the other plans and everything else that they had on their schedule, everyone pulling at them. They didn't allow that to keep them from Jesus. Instead, it says in Luke 2 that they hurried off. They hurried off to be with Jesus. Because this is what followers of Christ do. They hurry off to be with Jesus. In the middle of life, with everything pulling at them, they hurry off to be with Jesus. This is what the first disciples did that Jesus called to walk with him and minister with him when he did his ministry here on this earth. He went to these fishermen and all these other businessmen and people that had families and all kinds of stuff going on. He said, hey, come follow me. And it says, man, they dropped everything. They left all of this other stuff and they went with Jesus. They hurried off to be with Jesus, to make room for him. This is what followers of Christ do. We're willing to leave the other stuff behind. We're committed to not allow the hurriness of this life to rob us of the glory of God and seeing him and being with him. We have things to do. The shepherds still were shepherds. They did go back to their flocks. They did tend to what they needed to tend to and steward what the Lord had given them to steward. Do the job that God had called them and anointed them and equipped them to do. Yet they were not going to allow that job, that responsibility that was given from God, the blessings given from God, they were not going to allow those things to become the main thing and to keep them from Jesus. They knew when to hurry off. The things of this world pass away. They're but a vapor. They vanish. They're gone. And the things of this world, we can't take them with us. We won't take them with us. But Christ, he'll never leave us nor forsake us for those who make room for him, for those who open the door and invite him in. The shopping, the workouts, the decorating, the yard work, praise God, the yard work, the movies, the vacations, the picnics, the golf, the projects, all these things, the classes, the meetings, the ball games, all of these things that are going on in life that are not bad things, but all of these things, they're going to pass away. They're temporal. They're good, most of them, minus yard work. They're good. But they're going to pass away. But Christ, forever, eternal, our hope, our prize. We got to remember that and not let all of these temporal things get in the way of time with the Savior of the world. And frankly, with time with one another as the family of God, as we come into the presence of God. Because as we gather together, here he is in our midst. What a blessing. This is the gift that we have. It's Christ. Let's allow these shepherds to inspire us. Let's make room for Jesus. Let it become our habit to be those who hurry off to be with him. Then the shepherds did something that was awesome. You see, they encountered Jesus. They hurried off away from all the temporal stuff, and they encountered the glory and the presence of the newborn king, of the Savior of the world, and they were radically changed, so much so that they became evangelists. I mean, it impacted these guys big time. They began to spread the word about Jesus, and they became worshipers, it said. Worshipers who praised him and glorified him. When we hurry off and spend time in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God, It will impact us. It will change us. It will cause us to rise up with excitement, with joy, to the point we can't contain it, to the point that we become the light of the world that we've been talking about, to the point that we go out back into our responsibilities, into our places of work, into our places of influence, and we carry His presence, we carry His word, and we become the light. That's just how it works. That's God's economy. That's His way of doing things. All it took was for these shepherds who were just going about life to have an encounter with Jesus. And whew, the words that came forward earlier in our service about fire, about the fire of God and just being ignited by the fire of God. That's what happens when we get in His presence. That's what happens. We get on fire for Him. That's what happened to these shepherds. I want you to notice, they didn't have to go back and spend years studying Scripture to become apologists so that they could have this canned way of presenting the gospel and handing out tracts. They didn't go print a bunch of tracts and become a... They just got in the presence of God, got on fire and amazed by the glory of God, and they went and they just shared it with everyone. This is what we just encountered. This is what happened to us. You got to go see Him, man. You got to know Him. Let's be inspired by the shepherds this Christmas. Now let's look at another group of men and their reaction to Jesus. The wise guys, as Jimmy Zapola would say. The wise men. Did the wise men make room for Jesus? Well, let's look here. We're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, Magi, also known as wise men, from the east, they came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him." Now let's jump forward to verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. These wise men, these magi, made room for Jesus. In fact, these men had dedicated their lives to studying Jesus. I mean, they weren't even priests. These weren't even Israelites. These were foreigners. But they dedicated their lives to studying, to researching about this coming king that had been prophesied about. This is how they knew when and where Jesus was to be born. This is how they understood that there was going to be a star and that they needed to follow it. This is how they understood the signs of the times, is because they were studying the prophecies. They were studying the words of God that were spoken, and they were motivated. We got to know about this. And having discovered the Messiah, Jesus, they're doing their studies and they're like, "Hey, we're supposed to see the star. This is about the time that it's supposed to happen." And there, look at that. Look at that. It's happening. And having discovered that it was the time, it was the season, and here was a star, they followed that star, and they discovered the Messiah. They left everything behind, though, to do that. They left it all behind. They stepped away from their daily life. I mean, I look at this. God is no respecter of persons. But it seems like we're more enamored when somebody famous or rich or something like that becomes a believer. Because, oh, they've left so much. Or somebody who's living in just complete worldly life, you know, in all kinds of open rebellion and sin, they come to Christ and somehow we're like, "Whoa, that's a miracle." Well, I'm here to tell you that every person is a miracle. Every one of us who are lost in darkness, which is everyone, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a miracle. But listen to this. These guys are wealthy, important, learned, that are leaders in their nation. And they heard about this king that was to be born. They dropped everything. They laid everything down. Their daily lives, their familiar and comfortable surroundings. These guys were wealthy. Things were comfortable in their lives. They got on some camels. At least that's what they always show in the videos and the pictures and everything. Maybe donkeys. They packed up things. They started living in tents as they're traveling across the desert, across the world to find this king that was born. They were willing to leave all their comfort to do this. And having found him, they worshiped him. In fact, they worshiped him extravagantly. These wealthy, wise, prominent, these men humbled themselves. They actually bowed before Jesus. And at this time, Jesus was just a little boy, just probably under the age of 2, living in a house with his mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. And these important men, important by worldly standards, traveled all of this distance, humbled themselves, and worshiped Jesus. Jesus wasn't living in a mansion. He didn't have a crown of gold on his head like kings of this world. Yet these men recognized this is a king. And then they gave their earthly treasures to him, an offering, a gift. These men made room for Jesus. They made room for Jesus. And may we be like these wise men. Let's be like these guys. Let's study Jesus. Let's get in his word. Let's learn all we can about the Lord, about Jesus, about who he is. I mean, we've got the whole word of God here. It's here in our hands. If you don't have one, I'll give you one. We have Bibles ready for you, available. Want to get one in your hand? Let's be like the wise men. Let's research. Let's find out all we can about Jesus. Let's seek him out. Let's leave our comfort and our safety behind. And let's go after him. May we be willing to go all the way in our journey to encounter Jesus. May we humble ourselves and then fully worship him. He's worthy of it. He's worth it. And we'll never be disappointed. After all, Jesus came a great distance for you. Because of his love, he stepped down from his place of honor with his heavenly Father to live and then to die for us. So the Lord tells us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He tells us that if you ask, it shall be given to you. He tells us things like, hey, come to me all who are heavy laden and you'll find rest. That was awesome. That was a word that was even given this morning in our ministry time. In other words, the Lord has come and he's here for you and he loves you. He's made room for you. Let's make room for him. Bring that picture up again. Jesus is saying to you and to me right now, here I am. I stand at your door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Notice, as we just respond to Jesus and invite him in, that he comes in, that he doesn't shut the door. He doesn't just give us a track or something like that and say, oh, here's here's what I wanted to give you. Now I'm walking away to the next door. No, he comes in. He doesn't make us wait. He comes right in. He makes his home with us. The King of Kings, God himself, makes his home with us. He meets with us. He eats with us. He fills us with himself, with his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, freedom, joy, and peace, and everlasting life and relationship with him. This is what's ours when we open the door to him. So today, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the one who stepped down from heaven, the one who came to pursue you, to save you, and do life with you, he is standing at your door right now. Standing at the door of your life. He's standing at the door of your heart right now, and he's knocking. His arms are filled with gifts, with love for you right here, right now. So I believe the Lord is encouraging us to continue to be those people who make room for him, who invite him in, who open the door of our lives, our hearts, our schedule, our finances, everything. We open the door to him. We give him the place of prominence. And when we do, guarantee you, we will not be disappointed. So here's what I want to do. I'd like for us to stand up. If you're ready to invite Jesus into your life, maybe it's for the first time. You're ready to invite him into your life for the first time, to open the door of your heart, of your life to Jesus for the first time. Then this is for you. Maybe you're ready to open wide the door of your heart. Maybe you've been convicted a little bit and you see some of that innkeeper in you. Where, yeah, you're giving him a place, but maybe it's not that place of prominence. And you're feeling that understanding in your spirit even right now that there are things that you're missing. That there's his glory that you're not experiencing in your life right now. And you know why. And I will tell you this right now, we've all been there. I've been there. And to some degree, I'm probably there right now. Things I don't know. Areas of my life that I haven't fully opened up. Holy Spirit, help us understand that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to give Jesus a greater place of prominence in your life. Hey, you know what? If you fall into any of those categories, if you're tired of the busyness of life consuming you and controlling you, if you're ready to get rid of those innkeeper tendencies, if you're ready to make it a habit of spending time with Jesus, and if you're ready for breakthrough in that area of your life, if you're ready for him to come into your life even for the first time, I want to invite everyone who's ready to respond to this to come forward right now. And you're coming forward as a response, as a way of saying, yes, I'm opening up where I haven't been open before. I'm inviting you in to places of my heart and my life that I haven't in the past. I want us to respond to this amazing invitation this Christmas. I just want to invite you to pray this with me. You can pray it after me, but you can know this. I'm praying it also myself, standing up here with you. Because I want all that he has. I want his fullness in my life. Just say, Jesus, I want you to be front and center in my life. I open the door of my life to you. Come in. I give you the place of prominence in my life today. Come in. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. And you are my Savior. Come in. Forgive me for holding you off in the past. I repent. I repent of my sins even today. I choose life with you and you alone. I make room for you. I make room for you, Jesus. Come in. Come in. Come in.